Number three, learn to be critical and recognize bias in media sources. Just as we said with regard to our treatment of police, there has to be a healthy respect of the media. We want to hold them to a very high standard of impartiality. I never used to think that the mainstream media would be biased. But 20 years ago, my opinion started changing. I noticed that whenever there was a pro-life march, hundreds of thousands of people, for example, in Washington, D.C., a lot of mainstream media wouldn't even cover that. And if it was covered, it would be covered in a disproportionately poor way. And then I've noticed over the years, I've paid attention, any values that are considered socially conservative are usually treated in a not equal way. Now, what about with regard to racism? I honestly thought there wouldn't be any bias on this topic. And I've been happily watching global national news every day, just trying to learn the facts. But then I started to perceive what I thought of, is that bias? Are they not telling the whole story? I started noticing that they weren't reporting or giving enough attention to all the riots happening in the US, as I heard on other news outlets. So, with a team of people, having watched and checked every global national episode, George Floyd died on May 25th, and we started watching from May 27th until June 23rd, 28 days. And we noticed that Global National only covered the riots for 5 out of 28 days. And we calculated the total amount of minutes spent on racism. Only 11% of those minutes gave attention to the riots. Now, considering that by June 3rd, already 300 law enforcement personnel had been injured in the riots. 17 people innocently killed, including a number of Black Americans. These riots should have been given better treatment. I also saw two clips of two reporters doing what I would call is outright lying. And I'll show you this 1 minute clip from both of them. And I'll just set the scene, see if you can pick up on what I'm picking up on. In the first clip, the reporter will be with a caravan of cars. And he keeps on saying entirely peaceful, but he's saying they're also doing graffiti. But then he downplays it by saying other people are stopping them. But then he gets bottles thrown at him. People swear at him, but he keeps on insisting it's entirely peaceful. The second clip, the reporter has a building in the background burning, and he's saying it's not unruly. So here's the clip.
Protesters walking now, but they have several cars that have sort of joined the protest as well, and it's now just sort of a merry caravan. It is worth pointing out that it has been entirely peaceful, sometimes angry, but entirely peaceful. A few people doing some graffiti. When others saw them doing the graffiti, they would shut them down, make them stop doing it. Bottle thrown, which is not uncommon. So there is some of that, but for the most part, they have been very, very peaceful. They haven't been destroying anything. They like to take it out of the media, as everybody does, but rather than, you know, yell at us and throw stuff at us, not in a mean way.
Yeah.
And we'll be fine.
I want to be clear in how I characterize this. This is mostly a protest. It is not, generally speaking, unruly, but fires have been started.
So, to put it in perspective, imagine if a bunch of us were in cars and let's say we were doing a pro-life caravan and we were throwing bottles and swearing at reporters and then we were doing graffiti. Would the media display it as these pro-lifers are entirely peaceful? Or if, let's say, there's a pro-family group and we were burning down a building, would the reporters say it's not unruly? Now, this doesn't mean that every media outlet is not telling the truth, but I am now skeptical about what I'm being told by Global National, CNN, and MSNBC. Anything they say on racism, I feel I need to verify to check the other side of the story. And last point, the fourth point, Black Lives Matter. Should Catholics support it? And having talked to other people at these previous masses, it was a good discussion. And everything I present here, I just learned in the past week. I wasn't thinking about presenting on it, but I've just learned from these various other Catholic leaders. The largest group that takes this name, Black Lives Matter, is the Black Lives Matter Global Network Foundation. They want to eliminate racism. But according to their website, and it's right on the About page, I had to check it myself to be sure, they advance the LGBT ideology and they seek, quote, to dismantle the Western prescribed nuclear family structure. And, quote, when we gather, we do so with the intention of freeing ourselves from the tight grip of heteronormative thinking, which means freeing ourselves from the mentality that heterosexuality is the default human sexual orientation. Deacon Harold Burke Sievers, he's a Black Catholic on EWTN, he said this, marching to protest the inequitable treatment of Black people by those in authority, that's good. However, the policies espoused by the Black Lives Matter Global Network Foundation on family and sexuality constitute a radical feminist agenda disguised as a movement for Black Lives Matter. No Catholic can support the national organization whatsoever. Gloria Purvis, another Black Catholic, she said, it's a mistake to say that Black Lives Matter, the organization, is the head of this movement. For me, as a devout Catholic, as a loyal daughter of the church, I have no problem saying Black Lives Matter. I know it doesn't make me a member of the organization. That point is worth reemphasizing. Black lives do matter, and we should do all we can to stand up for them without supporting the Black Lives Matter Global Network Foundation. Purvis also said this, some Catholics hesitate to attend protests because they say that not only Black lives matter, but that all lives matter. Purvis explained that the phrase Black Lives Matter is not meant to devalue the lives of others, and while all lives do matter, she has observed that in practice in the U.S., what we have seen is that Black lives don't. I was shocked when I watched a 6-minute interview of the former president of the Greater New York Black Lives Matter group. His name is Hawk Newsom. 6-minute interview, unedited. But I was shocked at some of the things he said. And this is what he said. If this country doesn't give us what we want, then we will burn down this system and replace it, all right? I could be speaking figuratively. I could be speaking literally. It's a matter of interpretation. I don't condone, nor do I condemn rioting. I just want Black liberation and Black sovereignty by any means necessary. I was thrilled when I saw that the Black Lives Matter Global Network Foundation, they distanced themselves from Newsom's comments. You have to give credit where credit is due. That's good. Then I started thinking a step deeper about this. And then I wondered, they're distancing themselves from his comments, but why didn't they condemn some of those comments? So why did they condemn the fact that he doesn't condemn rioting? Why didn't they condemn the phrase burning down the system, which he said could be literal, and his phrase by any means necessary? Because if anyone else had said these phrases, they would have been condemned. Because of the complexity of this issue, that's why there's a healthy debate right now, even among Catholics. Should we use the hashtag Black Lives Matter? We all agree we want to fight against racism. We need to. We must. But not supporting groups that advocate against the foundation of human marriage and family, which are critical for human flourishing. But there's a disagreement among Catholics. What are the implications of using the hashtag? On the one hand, to the average person, when we use the hashtag, we're just saying we're against racism. On the other hand, we could be, by using the hashtag, inadvertently supporting a group that has some very harmful moral principles. So it seems to me that what we should simply do is always be aware, what are we saying and to whom? And final point on this, Bishop Edward Braxton, a black Catholic bishop. He wrote that most leaders of the Black Lives Matter movement, they reject the church's teaching on sexuality and abortion. And he said that others in the movement are reluctant to work with the church because they think Catholics have not done enough to fight racism. But he still dialogues with them. Whenever he dialogues with their leaders, he presents to them the church's teaching on racism as well as on sexuality. And he said, all Catholics have an obligation to work for racial justice within the framework of Catholic teaching about the dignity of the human person and the sanctity of human life, and to work, above all, for conversion. So these three Catholic leaders, Deacon Harold Burke Sievers, Gloria Purvis, and Bishop Braxton, they're showing us a way forward to end racism. Their search for truth while remaining faithful to Catholic Church teaching and acknowledging the real facts of racism and then mobilizing people to fight it, that's very inspiring. And it comes from their relationship with Jesus. These three leaders, they see the truth clearly because they love Jesus more than their family. They have taken up their cross and been misunderstood by many, and they have lost their life in the sense that they're constantly adapting themselves to the truth, who is Jesus Christ himself.